Hello, my name is Scott Bradley and this is Scott Scoa Podcast. Today I'm joined by Celtic fan Chris Toner. We discuss Celtic's current situation and who is to blame for it, and is Brendan Rodgers under pressure? We then discuss the impact Philippe Clement has had at Rangers and if they can go on and take the title of Celtic. All this and so much more. Enjoy the show. So Chris, we've got a lot to discuss and we're going to kick off the show talking about Celtic. The last time you were on the podcast, Chris, Celtic were 7 points clear in the league. And now they're second in the league and 2 points behind Rangers. What's happened?
Yeah, I don't know where to start, to be honest, Scott. I mean, it's a variety of factors. I feel like the turning point in the season, I don't think we started off too brilliantly. Obviously, the St. Johnstone game the week before the Old Firm, that was the first kind of sentiment that the fans were a little bit not sold on Brendan Rodgers coming back. Obviously, then got the victory in Old Firm, and then the second Old Firm at the New Year. We'll come to that shortly. But the month of November into December, we'd not to the Old Firm. That was when I feel it really began to go wrong. You go back to the one each Motherwell game at the end of November, when we conceded that late goal. Indeed, not long before that, there was the St Mirren game. I don't think we played particularly great, but as a bit of a back to the business, you have to grind results out sometimes. But yeah, there was that, and then we had the back-to-back defeats in December, the trip to Kelly, and then back-to-back lost at Celtic Park to Hearts 2-0, and then kind of managed to just see results through a feel. Even the Livy game the week after that, the Saturday before Christmas, I feel like that game we didn't turn up for until the second half. Then the end of January, you go to the Ross County game, Alistair Johnstone scoring in the first minute. So there was that one. And then it was almost a mirror image of the Motherwell game that I referred to, whereby County almost snatched a goal at the death. We go to Aberdeen, get a 1-1 draw up at Aberdeen, coming back from one down. And then, indeed, a mirror reflection of the Motherwell game happened in the 1-1 draw to Kilmarnock. And then Kilmarnock very well could have snatched a goal at the death.
Oh, yeah. And as you were saying, Chris, like, it's been very stop and start with Celtic all season. And when you look at the game against Hearts on Sunday, I thought it was a real stinker of a performance from Celtic, but it's been like that throughout the whole season where I don't see any signs of improvement. Like, since Rodgers has came back to the club, Celtic have gone backwards in a really bad way as well. And I think people seem to forget, Chris, that Brendan Rodgers inherited a treble win side and he's made Celtic so much worse. Of course, a lot of Celtic fans blame the board for the current situation. They mention about how Brendan Rodgers wasn't really backed in the transfer market. But of course, I don't think the Celtic board have exactly covered themselves in glory here. But in my opinion, I think Brendan Rodgers is the sole reason why Celtic are in the current mess that they're in right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you can blame a number of factors. A lot of fans are quick to blame what you hear it thrown around a lot, the Tory board. You can't let them forget about that, can you? But anyway, back to my point. Yeah, they were saying there's £70 million in the bank that's not been used. Yes, that is a source of frustration. But Brendan Rodgers, as you say, he's inherited a treble winning side. He inherited, obviously, a Ronnie Dyla side. Obviously, every manager's going to make his own signings, but he turned a Ronnie Dyla side into an invincible treble winning side. And now he's turned Ange Postecoglou's attacking Ange Ball winning side into a complete shadow of itself. Kyogo doesn't look half the player he did under Brendan Rodgers. It's one of these things where it feels like if it's not broke, don't fix it. Whereby, as I say, you get players that fit a particular style of football, Ange Ball, shall we say, and Brendan Rodgers comes in and he's pretty stubborn, I would say. He's very reluctant to go with what's working. He's it's got to be his way, and I feel like that's just totally turned this team to ruin.
Yeah, and see in terms of their performance against Hearts on Sunday, did it even come as a surprise to you that Celtic lost that game 2-0 for the second game in a row against Hearts?
Going into it, I remember like weeks before, when it was looking good with Rangers, was off the back of the Cali game. Like, I was at the Cali game, and you should have heard the super scoreboard after it. Fans were absolutely calling for his head. What disappointed me, as I say, is going into that, a few weeks before, I was like, I can genuinely see us dropping points at Tynecastle. Arguably, that's the hardest game by the two remaining Old Firms left on our schedule that season. What disappointed me was Wednesday night before, you had it's an absolute fluke of a result now looking back at it, but you had the 7-1 game against Dundee. For me, what happened there was, and this is what gets me as well, we need to worry about most about what we can control and what we can do. But word filtered out, Dundee, actually a decent opening chance in the opening minute or so of that game. And then word get round the ground, a bit of a roar that Rangers were losing 1-0 down at Rugby Park. So I feel it was like that energy amongst the crowd that then impacted the team to go on and then get a result. And then I thought, obviously with what happened at the weekend there, Rangers losing 1-0, 2-1, sorry, 2-1 at
At
Ibrox to Motherwell.
Rock.
Yep, and I thought, here we go then. Might be a bit of a repeat performance of Wednesday night, where it's like word gets out, Rangers fans will drop points or look like they could drop points. So the fans are going to turn up and rouse the team, and then that'll have an impact on the park. But there was absolutely none of that whatsoever. It was a pitiful performance. I can't believe Brendan Rodgers, when he was getting interviewed off Luke Shanley at the end of the game, was like, I want to praise my players' performance. It was abysmal.
Yeah, I found his post-match interview for the second week in a row, by the way, just embarrassing. I thought he made a fool of himself. And obviously now he's been charged by the SFA following his comments about the officials after the game. But see, when it comes to that red card, Chris, with Yang, do you believe that was a red card?
I've looked at it from a number of different ways, obviously, dissecting it, listening to a diverse range of opinions. Here's my take on it. So obviously, we got that penalty, which I didn't either missed. That for me wasn't a penalty. It was that chain of events that led up to the Yang red card. If that penalty hadn't have been given, Yang wouldn't have been sent off. That penalty decision, I did speak to my mates about it during the game in our group chat, and one of them says that there was no clear and obvious error. That's supposed to be the threshold for VAR to intervene and step in. He felt like nothing was a clear or obvious error, so that call was going to stand. But then you have the off the back of the missed penalty, you have the incident where Yang gets sent off. Which led to a lot of digging up of the laws of the game. So the way I look at it is, so I'm just trying to dig it up. I've scrolled back too far in our chat, but there's a paragraph in the laws of the game. I've got it up now. Sorry.
That's all right. No, take your time, mate. Take your time.
Yep. So the way I looked at it, so the serious foul play, which is I think I believe what was upheld as being so I read there was about five paragraphs in Article 12 of the laws of the game. So any player who lunges at an opponent and challenging for the ball from the front, from the side, or from behind using one or both legs with excessive force and endangering the safety of an opponent is guilty of serious foul play. So no denying that it endangers the safety of the opponent. Excessive force, it's one I wouldn't mind hearing back on, but what I'm going to take from it is anytime anything like happens in this modern day of the game, anything like that, then the refs are going to give a red card every time. So take it on the chin, and as my mate said during the game, if it had been on the other, if it had been on the shoe would have been on the other foot, then we would have been crying for a red card. So I don't think we can relate too much complaints.
Yeah, and obviously just going back to Brendan Rodgers' like recent antics as well, where I want to touch on this as well. After the Motherwell game, of course, he done an interview with Jane Lewis from the BBC, and he was very, you can tell Rodgers was rattled, because obviously when he was first the first time round he was in Scotland, a few years ago, he had a really good relationship with the media. He was almost like a media darling in a sense, and obviously Jane Lewis was like putting pressure on him to answer questions, and Rodgers did not conduct himself very well whatsoever. He couldn't answer simple questions that were put to him, and then he just effectively stormed away from the interview and referred to Jane Lewis as good girl. And of course, Brendan Rodgers received a lot of backlash for that comment. A lot of people were referring to him as sexist. They thought the comment was it was very patronizing and really disrespectful to someone like Jane Lewis. But what's your take on it, Chris? Do you think Brendan Rodgers was sexist calling Jane Lewis a good girl? Because in my opinion, it was extremely patronizing, but I'm not so sure if it was him being sexist, because if he did call, for example, me a good boy, no one would really bat an eyelid, if you get me. But what's your take on it?
It's one of these ones that where it's a very generational thing, where he's from. I think it's just like a bit of a common term of endearment or something you say, when you kind of part someone in those situations. So I can understand why a certain portion of like fans in the media were demonizing him for such a comment. I don't believe it was anything of that nature, but I think it was kind of offhanded, if you get me, and then probably treatment that an esteemed journalist like Jane Lewis deserved.
And of course, Jane Lewis did come out and say that she wasn't offended by his comment. But in terms of the recruitment that Celtic have made this season, Chris, and the players that Brendan Rodgers has brought in, is there anyone that you've been impressed with, really? Because overall, a lot of Celtic support have been very critical of the recruitment and they aren't exactly happy with it. But I will say, though, wherever Brendan Rodgers has been, even at Liverpool, Leicester City, he's not got a good track record of signings. Because we can't forget when he signed Mario Balotelli for Liverpool and thought he would be able to rehabilitate him, and that just turned out to be a complete disaster. And even when you look at his first spell at Celtic, Rodgers brought in, I think, 20 plus players, and only about four or five of them actually were a success. But in terms of the recruitment this season, Chris, is there any player that he's brought in where you've actually been impressed by them?
To be honest, no. Like in the early days of the season, when it was like he'd made a bit of a splash in the summer, I've got it up just now. I mean, 4.3 million for Navroski, 3 million for Lagerbielka, who's been a complete bomb scare. He only had that good moment in what was ultimately a meaningless dead rubber Champions League game against Feyenoord. 3.5 million for Palmer. Palmer's shown some flashes of brilliance, but nothing consistent. Yang's maybe coming on a bit of a game. Obviously, it's he's got the 2-match ban now, so that'll hinder him. As well, 2.5 million for Odin Thiago Holm, who's not really getting a look in. So yeah, not a great track record. When you look at the money that was spent in the window, the best signing, obviously, what it looks like, believe it or not. So we did say, you and I, personally, off air over Christmas and New Year, that it would be the winter window that we'd go on to decide the league. Obviously, we were coming off the back of an Old Firm, so we should have been very aggressive in the market. What do when we need a goalkeeper? Well, we'll need a goalkeeper because Hart's announced his retirement. I feel there has been moments where he has showed up and bailed us out, where we might have actually been in a worse position this year. But regardless, that needs addressed. Left back, Greg Taylor's not cut out for the job at all. News today that Bernabe's meant to be off. I can't tell you how glad I am at that news. And then what do? We bring in two forwards. Fair enough, Ida actually looks like he should be the starting striker in Brendan Rodgers' system, and with the fact that Kyogo, it's an absolute shell of what he was under Ange Postecoglou. So that's like perhaps the one good signing that's happened all year.
Yeah, and do you believe Brendan Rodgers is under pressure right now?
I think he's under pressure, and this is my take on it. I think the pressure he's feeling is that his entire Celtic legacy is at stake here with this one season. Obviously, I've said to you before the whole Piers Morgan saw on TikTok, the whole try never to go back with anything in life, whether it's like a job or whatever that you once loved and had and moved on from. There's always a reason why you've moved on, and if you do go back, it's never the same as what it was. So I've said that for months. I stick by that. So he knows that his entire Celtic legacy is at stake. With what will happen over just over well, over 2 months to go in the season, and it's not looking good for him, is it?
No, not at all, Chris. Not at all. And just before we move on to Rangers, Abada has now left Celtic to join Charlotte FC. What's your thoughts on that? And do you believe it was the right decision for both parties?
It's an unfortunate situation. Obviously, there was some very serious accusations going out around what his former president of his former club in Israel was saying. I think it was a situation, unfortunately, he himself had to get out of them, but it's not a good look on the club if these accusations do turn out to be true. It's a shame as well because not all Celtic fans align with the views that a certain sect of the support align with. And you've seen when he got subbed on, when he came on against Rangers in December, then the ovation for him was rousing. So obviously it's a bit of a better moment that he's having to move on, and obviously not what a move a lot of Celtic fans are going to be happy about.
And also, we'll move on to Rangers now, Chris. And you've got a few questions that you'd like to ask me about Rangers and their current situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I know what it was like back in October. We've touched on the fact that Celtic have now blown a 7-point lead. So Michael Beale, it was absolutely you says the Aberdeen game, you left early, and when you went back to the pub and party, the atmosphere, both in Ibrox and in the pub, it was absolutely toxic. Fans were arguing amongst each other and that. He absolutely had to go. There's absolutely no questions about that. Since Philippe Clement came in, I know he made your shortlist. He wasn't your first choice. With how things are going, the first silverware of the season in the bag, unexpected top in the group and a buy into the last 16 of the Europa League, a bit of a glamour tie against Benfica coming up. And now even though he's lost at the weekend, with us failing to take advantage, which was the most frustrating things for me, you must be happy with them, the absolute culture change and the perfect record that Philippe Clement has had since he came in.
Oh, 100%, Chris. Yeah, it's been a breath of fresh air. Because look at the situation, as you just said there, after the Aberdeen game, where I've been a season ticket holder at Ibrox for 14 years, right? I've seen Rangers get beat off Celtic 5-1, battered off Celtic. I've seen some really embarrassing performances, even losing to part-time teams in the lower leagues. But the atmosphere that day against Aberdeen was toxic as anything, the most toxic I've seen it. Then obviously, as you said, after the game, I went to Partick for a few, and in the pub as well, a lot of Rangers fans, it was just not a good atmosphere at all. Like, people were arguing amongst each other, it just wasn't nice. So I knew at that moment as well, he was gone, he had to go. There was no way coming back from him after that result. And also the day after the Aberdeen game, Michael Beale was relieved of his duties. And I will mention this as well. I interviewed Neil Banfield, Michael Beale's former assistant at Rangers. I interviewed him a couple of months ago, and he told me, right, after the Old Firm game where Celtic beat Rangers 1-0 at Ibrox, he said to Michael Beale, right, I think we're done here now. Like, because the atmosphere there was toxic as well. And it was like Michael Beale had to win that Old Firm game. And I don't think Rangers would have got a better free hit at Celtic than they did that day, because Celtic were like, they were crippled with injuries. They were coming to Ibrox, 50,000 in attendance, no Celtic fans there. And Michael Beale set up like he was playing against prime Barcelona, where he just showed Celtic far too much respect, and Celtic ended up winning the game. But I do believe Michael Beale should have went after that. But going back to Philippe Clement, no, yeah, he's been fantastic. Like, see, if you said to me that Rangers would have Rangers would win a League Cup, make the last 16 of the Europa League, and be top of the league by March. I would have thought you were on something. And Clement has done a fantastic job with the squad that he's got, and he's exactly what Rangers have been crying out for a very long time. And it, like the contrast between Michael Beale in the dugout compared to Philippe Clement, it's night and day. Because I obviously attend the post-match press conferences, right? And anytime Clement walks into the room, Chris, real aura about him, real presence, very intimidating guy. Like when he walks in the room, everyone is goes silent because he's just got that real like presence about him. And see if I'm feeling like that in the room. Imagine what it's like playing for him as well. Like, so yeah, honestly, he could not have asked for a better start at Rangers. And I will say as well, I do not think this is a great Rangers team, far from it, Chris, but we've got a very, very good manager and he's managing to get the best out of a squad that's not even his. So yeah, honestly, I could not ask for much more. But I do believe though, Chris, this is Rangers' league to lose. Like Rangers need to go on and win this league now because Celtic, in my opinion, this is one of the worst Celtic teams I've seen in a long, long time. And as I was saying earlier, I don't see any sign of improvement in this Celtic team under Brendan Rodgers, especially this season. So even though I don't think Rangers are a great side, but the momentum and the positivity is with Rangers because all season at Celtic, it's just been negative. There's not been the club. I don't think a large group of the support have really been behind Brendan Rodgers. I think that's because a lot of them still haven't forgiven him for how he left a few years ago. So, yeah, Clement is in a very good position right now, but obviously we are still got one or two issues as well in terms of injuries, especially out in the wide areas with our recent signing Cortez, who looks like he's going to be out for the remainder of the season, which is a massive blow because he was really starting to come onto a game. And Sima, who's been one of our star players this season, he's not going to be back until like April time. So we've still got some of our issues, but I do believe we're in a much better place mentally than Celtic right now, that's for sure. And I do believe that's just down to our manager.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just went through the league results since Clement came in. So the only blips, if you will, were the 1-1 trip to the tawdry, the Old Firm at Christmas, and then quite well go down as a famous result for Motherwell, first winning the league at Ibrox in almost 27 years. So going forward, would you say that they'll use that as a learning curve, that those kind of results aren't acceptable, especially because it was a dangerous situation you wound up in, frankly, knowing that an all equally, well, almost not as good Celtic side could have took advantage and ended up back on top of the table. As I say, I can't remember a title race quite like this, where it looks like a few weeks ago Rangers were pulling away five ahead with the game in hand, and then could have dropped points to Kelly but didn't, then dropped the loss at the weekend to Motherwell, and then Celtic failed to take full advantage, which, as I say, is the greatest source of frustration for me. But knowing that that's happened now, and the fact we failed to capitalise, is that going forward going to be the only other what the rest of the way, and will come on use make the team learn from that, is to see the league over the line.
I do believe Rangers will drop some more points as the season goes on. It's just inevitable. But in terms of that performance against Motherwell on Saturday, just nothing went Rangers' way whatsoever. It was just like the players for the last, I would say, last 20 minutes, they looked absolutely done in. And the most frustrating part about the performance against Motherwell was the fact that Rangers put all that hard work in against Hearts, beat Hearts 5-0. All that hard work in against Kilmarnock, which is a very, very tough place to go because they've beaten Celtic twice at Rugby Park, got a point at Parkhead, and obviously they beat us at the start of the season. So that was a massive result beating Kilmarnock. Then we go play Motherwell, who I don't think they're a horrible side. I think they're quite well organised under Kettlewell, but it was just a real bitter blow. And obviously, I do not want to make excuses, but obviously, the boy Casey, who actually ended up getting the winner, he should have been sent off for that horror challenge on Ross McCausland in the first half. But ultimately, though, Rangers were just not good enough on the day. And that's the thing as well, the fact that Rangers are really struggling out in the wide areas because we had to bring on Fabio Silva, who's a striker. We had to play him out in left wing. Stirling was playing outright. Stirling is a good utility man. I rate him a lot. He's having a great season, but he's not an actual winger. But right now, recently, we've been forced to play him out there. And I never thought I'd ever say this, Chris, right? And I'm no fan of the guy. I think he's the worst player at the club. But I think it's going to get to that stage where we'll have no other choice but to play Scott Wright, like out in that right-hand side. Because he, like, as it stands right now, well, I think McCausland's back in training, right? So that's good. But we can't keep playing Ross McCausland every single week. But we started him out in the left-hand side on Saturday, and it just did not work whatsoever. But we're getting to that stage where we're going to probably need to start Scott Wright in some games. And it pains me to say that, but we've got no other option, you know? So that is, and obviously Matondo, he's meant to be coming back quite soon, but he's had some injury problems at Rangers ever since we signed him 2 years ago. So that's what I was saying earlier on. Rangers do have some issues, but obviously I do believe Rangers and Celtic will drop points as the season goes on. It's just going to happen. But this is the first time in about 14 years, no, sorry, 13 years, Chris, that there's actually a proper title race on the go, like a proper one. And it's good for Scottish football. It's really refreshing that this is going on, because obviously we had a bit of a title race 2 years ago, and then obviously Rangers kind of fell away because, like, we put all our eggs in one basket with the Europa League. So this time round, though, obviously Rangers, of course, in the last 16, they've got a big game against Benfica tomorrow. Europa League, I'm not too fussed about, Chris. We had our fun in it 2 seasons ago, obviously making the final and then also won a Scottish Cup. But this time round, our full priority needs to be in the league. It needs to be in the league, because I don't think we'll get a better chance than this time round. Like, I don't think we'll get a better chance to win it right now, because just the position we've put ourselves in, it will come down to that Old Firm game. I would say the two Old Firm games in a sense, obviously Ibrox and Parkhead, but if Celtic drop some more points in the build up to that Old Firm game, and if Rangers manage to have maybe a 5 point, 6 point lead over Celtic, I would probably think it'll be a done deal at that point, if I'm being totally honest. But, like, yeah, it is interesting. It is very interesting, Chris. And of course, Rangers can still win a treble. I'm not going to say quadruple, of course, but technically Rangers still can. But of course, Rangers still in a great position to, like, realistically win a treble. And in terms of, like, momentum going into the next season, that will be huge. And I will say as well, though, the recruitment that Rangers made in January, I've been really impressed with. Like, Diamande has had a great start to his Rangers career. Silva's had a good start as well. Cortez was really coming on again, but then obviously got injured. But another thing I will say, though, as well, like, see when Clement first came to the club, he was saying that he's been at so many clubs throughout his career, like playing football, managing teams. He said he's never seen an injury crisis like it is at Rangers. So that obviously must be what, like, it just makes you think, what were the previous regime doing with these players for them to just drop like flies and be injured all the time? And Clement as well did say after the game on Saturday, after that bad result, he said now he's going to find out who the big characters are in this Rangers dressing room, how they're going to bounce back after a real sore defeat like that. Because the Old Firm game in December, I wasn't overly annoyed at it. It was a very tight game. It really could have went either way, in my opinion. And it was just one of those days where, yeah, Celtic were just like edged it, but it was obviously the game started was a real sore one. But so yeah, as he said, as Clement said, but now we're going to see who the big characters are in amongst that Rangers dressing room, how they're going to bounce back after a real sore defeat like that. And yeah, it's going to be very interesting, like, going forward as well. That's for sure.
Yeah, obviously I was going to come round and ask you about if even if the situation neither has dropped points in the next 4 weeks or so before the next Old Firm and the done deal even at 5 points clear. But I'll put a spin on that question. Where would that leave Celtic and Brendan Rodgers for you in terms of the pressure it would be on him at this point? Or do you think at that point it's like he's either going to walk or the board's hand might be forced? Do you really think the board's hand would be forced that they actually would sack Brendan Rodgers?
If I'm being honest, right, just say Celtic are out of the Scottish Cup, right, and then they lose to Rangers in April 6th, right? I do believe either Rodgers will walk or Celtic will pull the trigger. Because at that point, if Rangers have got a comfortable, like, margin ahead of Celtic, like 5, 6 points or whatever, right? And Like, and obviously the momentum will be with Rangers at that point, going into obviously the final games of the league campaign. I think knowing the way Brendan Rodgers is, we've seen it at Leicester City. He didn't see out the season. He was almost like working his ticket. In a sense, I do believe it. It was quite evident. I think he was happy to get sacked. I think he was sacked, I'm sure. Brendan
Yeah, it
Rodgers,
was.
he was sacked. So I wasn't surprised that obviously that he did get sacked from Leicester City, and I think he will. I think they'll be. I don't know what I think they'll do. They'll probably come to some sort of mutual agreement because Rodgers will not want to stay for the remainder of the season, knowing the fact that Rangers are on track to win the league title, and just say, as I said, about the Celtic not even being in a Scottish Cup. So if he's got nothing to play for, I think Celtic will just part ways with him because I don't think he would want to be like managing Celtic in the dugout and be in amongst that toxic atmosphere, because that's when I think the full of the Celtic support will completely turn on Brendan Rodgers. And I put a tweet out on Sunday night about Brendan Rodgers, and I had a lot of Leicester City fans tweeting me saying that Brendan Rodgers ruined our club, and like he was the sole reason why they got relegated. And it just shows you, like, Brendan Rodgers won Leicester City an FA Cup, and they absolutely despise him. They cannot stand him. So it's like, I think it's like the common theme with Brendan Rodgers everywhere he goes. Look at Liverpool as well. We ended up getting the sack. I think he ended up losing the dressing room there as well. Leicester City, same thing happened. And at Celtic as well. I'm not saying he's lost the dressing room at Celtic, but he's not getting a tune out of these Celtic players, Chris. He's not. And he's, as we were saying earlier, he inherited a good Celtic team who won a treble. They were in a very, very good place. And when Brendan Rodgers came back to Celtic, it was almost like there was no buzz about it. There was no like real excitement. Like, because remember when he was standing outside Celtic Park, there was only like maybe 100 or so people turned up. It wasn't a great turnout. Whereas obviously when he first came to Celtic 8 years ago, oh, it was a big turnout for Brendan Rodgers. Like, it was at Parkhead. I think they let Celtic fans in to the stadium as well to obviously welcome Rodgers to the club. But yeah, I think the worst thing Brendan Rodgers could have done was return to Celtic. And his reputation is massively on the line. As you said about him, he can ruin his legacy at Celtic, but his reputation in the game as a whole, like, if he doesn't win anything at Celtic this season, he ends up getting the sack. I highly doubt another Premier League club down south is going to hire him. He'll need to go back down to the Championship and rebuild himself. What he should have done after the Leicester City sacking was take a break from football. And I don't understand why a lot of these managers, Chris, like, once they get sacked, they go straight into another job. Look at Michael Beale. He got sacked from Rangers, went straight into another job, got sacked from Sunderland after 12 games. His reputation is in tatters right now. And I feel like Brendan Rodgers is running that risk as well at Celtic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, 100%. Is there anything else you want to add, Chris, before we speak about the one and only Neil Warnock?
No, I think we've covered that. I had something in my head and it went out there. So I'm happy to just move on to that thriller of a game, Gianni Infantino, in Scotland for the IFAB conference, I believe it was, up Lochlomond way, and he got treated to an absolute brilliant advert for Scottish football. We know Graham McCormick was loving it on Saturday. I think he fell down the stairs when that second goal went in.
Yep, that's right. Yeah,
Yeah, what a game.
I know 100%. Yeah, like Graham said to me as well, that was one of the best St Mirren games that he's been to. Obviously, you can't beat a last minute winner, and especially against Aberdeen, of course. But obviously, Neil Warnock is Aberdeen manager now. And when he first came up to Scotland, I was like, what, this is a great appointment. Like, Neil Warnock is a very likable character, and I thought it was a box office appointment from Aberdeen. Especially until the end of the season, but it's not really turning out that way, Chris, because Aberdeen are sitting 10th in the league. They're 2 points away from the playoffs. No, sorry, not 2 points away from the playoffs, sorry. 4 points away. Sorry, 4 points away from the playoffs. He's only picked up 2 points from his first six league games. He's only won one game, and that was in the cup against Bonnyrigg Rose. And it's not been good. It's not been the kind of like fairy tale way that Neil Warnock probably expected these managerial career to end. Because if I'm being honest, I like Neil Warnock a lot, and he's a great character. He's very, very entertaining, and we need more characters like him in the game. But this appointment, Chris, has turned out to be a complete disaster because Aberdeen are in serious threat of going down this season.
Yeah, I remember what I was going to say about Rodgers. I think just backtrack a bit. I think Rodgers wouldn't want the indignity of staying around if he had nothing to play for, so he would walk. But onto Warnock, I feel he's another character that might walk before the season. He wouldn't want the indignity of ending quite a good managerial career of going up to Scotland. It was a risk of a move because let's not forget. His old style of play. He has obviously carries a lot of experience as a good coach and manager. Maybe a bit old and stubborn in his ways, and that's not trickling down to these younger players used to playing more exciting attacking styles of play. So I think it might be that, and then obviously someone like that and Aberdeen making such a move as a risk they've taken them, it's not one that looks like it's paying off at the moment.
No, not at all. When I was at the Rangers press conference after Rangers beat Aberdeen 2-1, Neil Warnock turned up right, and he was having a laugh with all the journalists in the room. He was in very good spirits, and it was almost like this is what a lot of people are thinking about Neil Warnock right now. It's almost like, in a sense, he's came up to Scotland just for a bit of a laugh, a bit of a jolly. Like he's like that's the thing. It's turned out to be very difficult for him, and he's struggling. And he thought it would just be, we'll come up here, have a laugh. And I don't think he expected for Aberdeen to be in a relegation fight right now. And it's not looking good whatsoever, because he did say the remit was get Aberdeen in the top six and hopefully win the Scottish Cup. They've got Kilmarnock this weekend in the Scottish Cup, right? Last time Kilmarnock played them, they beat them 2-0. So I fully expect Kilmarnock to beat Aberdeen. And as you said about, it wouldn't shock me if Neil Warnock decided to walk, because I don't think Aberdeen would be able to to afford to sack him. I don't think they'd be able to afford to sack him. Because obviously I don't think he'll be on I don't think he'll be on pennies, that's for sure, at Aberdeen. So if anything, I think he would just end up walking. But I think Aberdeen will go down this season. No, I don't. I think if they were to finish in the playoffs, they'll get someone like a Raith Rovers or a Partick Thistle, and then they'll just wipe the floor with them. So they don't need to worry about that. But for a squad that's only won, when you're looking at a squad, they've got a good team there, and they've only won six league games all season. That is embarrassing. Like, that is actually pitiful. And Aberdeen, they're just like, ever since they've sacked Denny McInnes, they've not been great at all. Obviously, they had a wee decent spell under Barry Robson, finishing third last season, getting into Europe, and making a League Cup final. That's about it. What I said at the time when they sacked Derek McInnes, be careful what you wish for. And now I'm seeing Aberdeen fans on Twitter saying, bring back Derek McInnes. It just shows you how fickle football fans can be. But yeah, I think the worst thing they could have done was sack Derek McInnes, because look at the job he's doing at Kilmarnock right now. And he's in serious contention right now, Chris, of getting manager of the year. If Clement was to do a treble or win the league, I think Clement would probably get it, considering the mess Rangers were in. But if Rangers weren't to win the league, I think Derek McInnes is a total shoe-in for manager of the year. But yeah, it's not looking good for Aberdeen. And Neil Warnock, same with Rodgers. I think both of them are under massive pressure right now, and it's not looking good whatsoever, Chris, that's for sure.
No, and it's kind of sad to see a little bit, because people will be slagging Warnock off as an old dinosaur and that, but it's sad to see these esteemed managers become a bit of a shell of themselves, and then this is the last thing you remember them by.
Yeah, not exactly, I know. But yeah, because you see, but you're obviously going back to that press conference after the Rangers win against Aberdeen. He turned up, right, and he was wearing a blue tie and everything. You would think he was like the Rangers manager, literally. And also as well, I will touch on this before we finish off. Warnock said a couple of weeks ago, I think it was a couple of weeks ago after they lost to, I think it might have been Killie. I think it might have been. He basically said, like, dog, can you like DC is? He's like, he said to the boys in the the presser. He was like, "Oh, do you see, can you actually see us winning another league game this season? We've been putting these kind of performances. I can't see that." Like, but when you're seeing stuff like that, it's not a good look in terms of like how the player's going to feel about that. But the manager's coming out saying, "Yeah," like asking the media, "Do you think we'll win another league game this season?" It's not going to fill the players with a whole lot of confidence, man. Like, but I think Warnock is at that stage where it's like, he obviously knows he's not going to be here next season, so he's just in that kind of mindset of like, I'm just going to say what I want. He's at that age where he doesn't really care what people think anymore. He's been in the game long enough. He's made his money. He's had a great career, so he's only going to be here for another couple months. So he's just kind of like, I'll just say what I want. Like, I don't care what people think. I've got nothing to lose here. But yeah, I think it's just not looking good for Aberdeen. And it's a shame for Neil Warnock for his career. He's got a great managerial career for it to end on a sour note by potentially taking Aberdeen into the relegation playoffs. But is there anything else, Chris, you want to bring up before we head off?
No, thank you, cover.
And I'll say this as well. Benfica tomorrow, Rangers Benfica. How do you see that going?
It's away, isn't it?
Yeah, it's away. Yeah.
I'll go 2-1 Benfica.
2-1 Benfica. And I will say as well, Benfica, they've been hit with some big injuries, but they're a good side. They're top of the Portuguese league. They've got players like Di Maria and some other like real top players. So it will be a tough challenge because the last time Rangers played Benfica was 3 years ago in the Europa League, and over both games, Rangers were winning. The Rangers had a 2-goal lead, and then Benfica ended up coming back and getting a point. But yeah, it will be interesting. But Chris, thank you very much for coming on, mate. A pleasure as always.
Yeah, good to be back on.
Thank you very much for listening to the show. If you want to listen to more episodes of Scott Score, they're available on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud. Until next time, take care, and we'll see you soon.